All right. So last week I started a sermon that I was not able to complete called Daily Revelations. Daily Revelations. And basically what we were doing is that we were walking through the book, or through the Bible, that is, and showing from Genesis on through how God, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. How God revealed himself to Noah, or even Adam and Eve, as creator, judge, and redeemer. How God revealed himself to all of the Old Testament characters, those who walked with God, that God revealed himself to them, and that God is doing the same thing today. Why? Because God has not changed. Psalm 19, you ought to be able to quote it by now. I quote it almost every few Sundays, that is. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night shows forth knowledge. The psalmist said that day by day, God is revealing his glory. He's revealing himself to us. He does it in creation. He does it in a sunrise. He does it in a sunset. He does it when you're walking across. I was watching a video the other day, and just the sun glimmering off the water of the seas was just, I don't know why that ministers such peace. I don't know why that talks to me so mightily about who he is, but it was so beautiful and it so ministered to my own spirit. But God is constantly, and we talked about how the astrologists and so forth are looking at they've been looking at the stars since man been on the planet. Why? Because God reveals so much by just the movement of the stars. But not just in his creation. We talked about how God revealed himself to Moses, how he revealed himself to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how he revealed himself to Hagar, and all through to David, Moses in a burning bush. Each person, on to the nation of Israel, God was the one who revealed himself to them. We weren't running after God. At least I sure wasn't. I don't know about you, but I wasn't running after him. No, he pursued me. He pursued me, right? And so we looked at so many instances of how God has revealed himself to us, revealed himself to Samuel, to Job, and we're going to be going into the book of Job next week, Lord willing, and how Job said at the end of his trial, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you, and I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And, you know, God, at the end of Job's trial, we can learn something from Job. God reveals something to Job about himself. Let me say that again, in case you didn't get it. In case I didn't get it. At the end of Job's trial, anybody in the trial? Okay. At the end of Job's trial, God revealed something to Job about himself. What's the purpose for your trial? It's not what you think. It wasn't what Job thought. Job had his mind made up. God, you've taken away my justice and all of this. But no, God wants to reveal himself to us. Why? Because he's the self-revealing one. He's always revealed himself. And listen, you don't reveal yourself to someone you don't love. If you want to talk to someone who really knows me better than anybody on this planet, talk to my wife. Why? Because I reveal myself to her. I talk to her about the things that going on in my heart, what I'm feeling, what I think about what's going on with our children, what I think about life, what I think about business, what I think about everything. And when you love someone, you constantly reveal. You don't shut yourself off to them. You reveal, you open yourself up to them. Well, what does this say about God? Come on, God is a person. He created us. He gave us personhood. Hello. And he made us in his image. And if you and I really love someone, we will share ourselves with them. Hey, this is what marriage is all about. Come on. It's about having children is all about. It's about them. Listen, God created us so that we could benefit by knowing him. He wanted us to know him. He wanted us to have a relationship. Why? Because in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, there is perfect oneness and perfect relationship. Nothing out of place, nothing out of order. And you and I, church, are on. I'm getting away from my message now. You and I are on our way there, and I can't wait. I told my wife just yesterday, baby, when it comes my time, girl, when it comes my time, don't you be hanging on to me. Cut loose the cord and say, let him go. Glory to God. I've tasted and I've seen. I've tasted so much. I've tasted. I see the love of the Father for his Son. Jesus talks about it. He says the Father loves the Son and shows him all the things that he's doing. Why? Because when you love someone, you share yourself with them. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit have perfectly given themselves to one another in relationship. And God ordained it that we give ourselves to one another. So, of course, we would, in his likeness and in his image, we do so. We talked about how God revealed himself to Isaiah and to the prophets, to Amos, and on and on and on it went. And I said I would stop with Paul's revelations. I stopped with Paul. And so Paul says in Galatians chapter 1 in verse 12, he says, speaking of the gospel that he received, he said, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through revelation of Jesus Christ. This word revelation in the Greek is our word for apocalypse. Apokalypsos is the word in the Greek. It's the same word that Paul uses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, where he says, it is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now, we understand Paul was an apostle, the apostle to the Gentiles, to be more specific. And he was given to visions and revelations. Now, not every one of us has visions, but we do have revelations. And one's not more important than the other. It doesn't matter if you have it, doesn't make you deep or anything. Just makes, you know, God reveals something to you, then that's it. We don't get proud. We just receive what God says to us and we move on because God's doing something in us, right? He wants to reveal himself to us. So Paul said, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul knew that the Lord would disclose or reveal himself to him. 2 Corinthians 12:7, it goes on and says this, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a message of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Paul was given a thorn to keep him humble. Why? Because of the abundance of the revelations. Paul received revelations. So do you. We do. Now, it's not the revelation that Paul received where one wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, but it's the revelation that God gives us of himself that we simply might know him. He wants us to know him. Amen. Remember John 17:3, where Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they may know you. What is life? What is eternal life? It's not a place. It's not a thing. It's a person. This is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. That's life eternal, is knowing him. But look. Paul received revelations, but then it didn't stop there. Paul said this in Ephesians. He prayed this, rather, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. You say, well, what? Paul received revelations. Why is he praying for us to receive revelation? Because that's God's heart. Paul was praying a spirit-led prayer. He didn't just conjure up some prayer. No, the Spirit of God through him was praying for you and I and all the saints that we might receive a spirit of wisdom and revelation or disclosure or manifestation or pulling back of the curtain that we might see him, that we might know him. And this is going on day by day in my life and in yours. By the Spirit of God, goes on in you, goes on in me. And like we said last week, you said, what is God revealing about himself to me every day? Well, one thing that he's revealing is this. I'm faithful. You could just look at the Lord's Prayer and see some of what the Lord is revealing. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. What is he revealing? He's revealing. He wants you to know above all things that he is your Father. And he's doing this day by day by day. And when you as his son or daughter cry out to him, he says, Here I am. He says, Here I am. And even when you don't ask for things, even when, you know, I was cleaning carpet the other day. My birthday was Thursday. And I'm not saying that for any other. No. Don't. Hey, ask my wife. She'll tell you, Pat, he ain't into birthdays. You know, I celebrate everybody else's, but mine, hey. Yeah. Well, the best birthday gift is waking up on your birthday and going, Thank you, Jesus. Happy birthday to me. Don't need nothing. All I need is that next breath. That's what I need. Amen. And so that's the birth. But I said that. Let me finish what I said. Now, so Thursday was my birthday. Wednesday, I went to clean some carpet. And when I got done and the woman paid me, she says, Hold on. I'm used to that, by the way. Hold on. But instead of coming with some money, this woman, during the pandemic, she had gotten either laid off or whatever, and she had started a cookie company. And she had gone into the kitchen and cooked. She said, They still warm. I said, I said, okay. And so she handed me. I went home, got online, checked out. The cookies are $4 a piece. She gave me 6 cookies, and there's a 6 cookie minimum when you order. So that was $24 that she gave me, and she had no idea that the next day was my birthday. But I tell you, who knew it was? Hey, you ain't listening to me. I'm trying to tell you. I'm telling you who knew. Hey, and I said, Oh, Father, Father, Father. And you say, What is he revealing to us every day? I'll tell you what he said. I got my eye on you. I know every detail. I know everything about your life. And it wasn't about the present. It's about he. It was about he revealed. He shared himself with me. Shared what? That I got you, son. I know who you are. I'm watching you. And so I took the cookies. I was so blessed by the woman. I said, What's your name? Girl, you sure are a blessing. Then look here. On. And so I get home and her husband called me and said, Hey, Pat, I was working. I didn't get to see you when you left, but you did a great job doing that. I said, Man, your wife blessed. Tell your wife tomorrow's my birthday. He said, Oh, it is? I'm like, Yeah. I was like, That was a blessing. That was a blessing. Amen. And so little things like that. See, little things like that. Because then when you turn the corner and it seems like a Mack truck rolled over you, the one who saw you with the cookies and all that, you know he see what's going on now. Oh, he's got it. Oh, he sees it. I am not going to worry about anything, pray about everything, worry about nothing. Why? Because he sees me. Hagar said, I have seen him who sees me. God revealed to Hagar, I see you, woman, in your trouble, in your trial. I see you. And she said, Oh, he sees me. And she took comfort in that, you see. And so God, Paul was praying that you and I would be given a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And he goes on and on and on, that you might know him. He wants us to know him, church. And because of this, he reveals himself daily. Now, The problem with some people get so big and so deep, they get like, I got this big revelation, nobody know anything about. No, it's not like that. No, you are his son, you are his daughter. He's revealing himself to you. He don't have to do it for everybody. You don't have to tell everybody else about what he's doing and to show that you deep. Because you're not. No. He's deep. We very shallow. But he is revealing himself to us. And I'm not saying you don't share. I share a thing or two during a sermon to let you know. But there's far more going on than what I ever share from here. Oh, make no mistake about it. Oh, there's far more going on. It's just that the reason why I share is because I see it. I see it. David would pray this way. He said, Lord, show me a token of your kindness. Show me a token of your goodness. Show me a token that you're with me. And God would do, you know, God was constantly showing David. Like the time that Saul was right around, Saul was in the same cave with David. It could have went either way. Saul could have killed David. But the Bible says, all those years, God never delivered David into the hand of Saul. Wasn't that David was so cunning and so strategic and he was so good at, you know, avoiding Saul? No. It said God never delivered David into Saul's hand. It was God's doing. It was God's doing. And we be careful to give him all the praise for what he does. Amen. Well, look, listen at this. John 14. This will make it clear. John 14, 21. Jesus speaking, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And so we evidence love for Christ by keeping his commandments, which he has given us a heart to do. We love him. 1 John 4:19, I quoted earlier. We love him because he first loved us. So Jesus says, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Listen to this. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. Jesus said, those who love me will be loved by my Father. My Father will love him, and I will love him, and I will disclose myself to him. Hey, glory to God. I will reveal, I will manifest myself to him. So from the day you got saved, God's been manifesting himself to you. You say, he has? Yeah, quite definitely. I'm quite sure about this. You say, well, how come I haven't seen it? Well, because, you know. Have you been told? I mean, is that what Jesus is saying here in this scripture? Well, manifest means to disrobe, to unclothe, to pull the curtain back, to show, to reveal, to disclose. He says, I'm going to reveal myself to you. Was that only for his disciples? Only for those that the immediate people he was talking to? No. He said to those who love me, they will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. As I said earlier, you share your intimate feelings with those whom you love. You don't go share your heart with people that hate you. You don't cast your pearls before swine. Hello. And so you share yourself with those who love you. And Jesus said, those who keep my commandments, it is those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. So the word manifest is emphadizo in the Greek, which means to exhibit or to disclose. It's translated appear, declare, inform, to show, to signify all throughout the Greek New Testament. And so Judas, because he would have a question like we would have a question, in verse 22, Judas said this, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, notice how Jesus, he didn't say if only you 12 love me. He said, if anyone loves me. So Jesus casts a wide net. He didn't just say to the 12 disciples, to only that generation who were living now. He said, you know, Judas said, how will you do this and not show yourself to the world? If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We'll make our home. Now, let me tell you something. We in church, y'all. Am I right? Okay. When you come to church, do you know what you come with? You come with your Sunday best. And I'm not talking about your clothes. Hey, yeah. Look here. There's the saint that's in the church. But then there's the saint that's in the house. Hey, you hear what I'm saying? Oh, I'm telling you, and I would beg, I have to let you know, that sometimes there's a little bit of a difference between the saint in the church and the saint in the house. Jesus said, I and my Father, we will come and we will make our home with him. We'll make our home with him. Now, when Jesus comes, he comes to you and I. What Jesus reveals to you about himself, that's the real deal. There is no Sunday Jesus. There is no church Jesus and home Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, help us to be like you. Help us to be like you. Transform us into your image. And so you see that those whom he loves, God plans to come, and this business of being at home, we remember that in earlier in this chapter, we're not studying John chapter 14, but in John 14 and 2, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go away to prepare a place for you. He said, if I go away to prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He's prepared a home. But then the scripture says, you and I are the temples of the living God. We are his habitation. Revelation says the tabernacle of God is now with men. The tabernacle, the dwelling place of God is now with men. That's what he came to do, because that's what he always wanted. That's what he always wanted. Hello. And so, God has come to you, and this, I'm going somewhere with this. Hold on, just hang in there. I'm going somewhere. Let me read what this one commentary said about this verse. I like it. Astonishing disclosure. Observe the links in this golden chain. First, if a man love me, such love is at first the fruit of love. We've talked about that for years. We love him because he first loved us. Then this love to Christ makes his word dear to us. Accordingly, if a man love me, he will be kept. He will keep my word. Further, such is my Father's love to me, that when any man loves me and my word is dear to him, my Father will love that man. Finally, such a man with heart so prepared and so perfumed shall become the permanent habitation of both my Father and me, the seat not of occasional and distant discoveries, but of abiding and intimate manifestations, both of my Father and me, to his unspeakable satisfaction and joy. Amen. So God comes to live with us, to disclose, to reveal, to share himself with us. And I mean, listen, church, it's so practical. Carl and I talk about this from time to time. But anytime, you know, something is going on with me and my wife, and I'm getting ready to respond to my wife, the Father, literally every time before I say anything, he shows me a picture. I'm getting ready to respond to my bride, and he shows me a picture of me, his bride, and how he treats me. And then he tells me, that's how you treat your bride. Oh, God, you know what that does? Do you know what that does? Anything that you about to get in your flesh or say something out of turn and all of that, it shuts it down. It just shuts it down. Why? Because he loves me so supremely. He loves me so perfectly. He loves me in word. in thought and in deed. And before I can even respond to my wife, the Holy Spirit is showing me the love of Christ, my Savior, through the love of the Father through the Savior. And I have to respond differently. That's part of the revelation I'm talking about. It's very practical. It's not this deep thing that you see. You want to run around and hey, God showed me. Ain't I deep? No. God showed me like Job. God showed me. That's another thing we'll learn from Job. God showed me every time when God reveals himself, it sheds light on who you really are. Really? Do I really? Oh, yes. You want the revelation. You must have the revelation of who he is. But please don't forget this one thing. That Isaiah said the same thing. He said, woe is me. The one who said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. The revelation of God will shine on our darkness. It will shine on what we lack. It will shine and cause us to repent, cause us to turn. Hello. So, this requires time and contemplation, I wrote, because to think about all that he's been revealing to us all these years from the day we got saved, you know? And all of this appearing, this revealing, disclosing himself is preparing us for the ultimate disclosure, the ultimate revelation of who Jesus is. And the scripture talks about the Old Testament and New Testament. The revelation of God in Christ's return. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1 and chapter 1, verse 6 through 8 reads, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end. Now, some scholars here believe that Paul was referring to in this revelation of Christ, referring to when Titus through the Romans would come and bring judgment upon the Jewish nation for having rejected Jesus. That could be the case, all at the same time, also referring to the final judgment will come, which will happen at the revelation of Jesus. The word here in the Greek, again, is apokalypsos, from which we get our word apocalypse. It means disclosure, the action of making new or secret information known. It's translated appearing, coming, manifestation, be revealed, and revelation. So ultimately, what are we waiting for? And I love the fact that Moses came upon this in his sermon a couple weeks ago. Ultimately, in all of our waiting, we're waiting for Christ. That is the ultimate end, a purpose to which we seek, or reason that we're awaiting on anything, is that we're waiting on the revelation of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, Paul says, and to give to you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed. Again, apokalypsos. When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Some, the preterist tense, or the preterist belief back in the day that in the first century, there were some who believed that Jesus had already returned, and Paul had to rebuke them. And Paul told Timothy to rebuke them. But there are some that teach today that Jesus has already returned. And to which we say, no, not true. Because when he does return, 2 Thessalonians 1:7 says, he will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. With his mighty angels. And I love it. It didn't say with the mighty angels. It says with his mighty angels, because he's returning with those he made. Glory to God. Everything is his, church. Everything is his. So he's going to return, and with him will be all of these angels. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul teaching about the resurrection, verse 23 says, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. At his coming, the dead are going to be raised. And look, church, that has not happened yet. there are some people who teach that it has already happened. Well, if that happened, I don't know what we're doing here. But, you know, it hasn't. This speaks of Christ's coming. The word is parousia. Parousia means being near, an advent, a return specifically of Christ to punish Jerusalem also or finally the wicked. So it speaks of his coming, speaks of his presence. 1 Thessalonians 2:19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? At his coming? That is what we are waiting for above all things that we might be waiting for. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 3:13. Excuse me. So that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So in one verse, he's coming with all his mighty angels. In this verse, Paul says that Jesus Christ is coming with all his saints. Hello? That means, you know, when we sing, when the saints go marching in, come on, how I want to be in that number, yeah. So he's coming with all his saints, with all of his angels. And he's going to be revealed when he comes. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. We know this passage, speaking about the second coming of Jesus, is not talking about any judgment that he would come and pronounce over Jerusalem, but indeed that Paul said, those who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So this is talking about when Christ is revealed at his second coming. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless when Jesus cracks the sky and returns and reveals himself. Oh, God, glory to God. How I would love to, what that would be like. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we are, hey, look here. Paul was a Roman citizen, and a centurion said, with a great sum, I purchased my citizenship. Paul said, but I was born free. He said, I was born a citizen of Rome, which was great. And I'm sure the centurion was like, oh, God, that's so wonderful. But Paul did not look at his Roman citizenship as something to be grasped for and held on to. So I told my wife, when it comes time for me to go, I'm not going to be saying, sitting here going, oh, Lord, one more day. I'm going to be like, Lord Jesus, quickly. Yes, I'm coming. I'm gone. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Why you keep saying that, Pastor? Because our citizenship is in heaven. Listen, church. Your body, my body may be here, but heaven is on the inside of here. And some of heaven is in here. Amen. And heaven longs for heaven. Come on now. What God is doing, there's an upward call upon us. There's a desire to be with our Father who is in heaven. And I'm not an escapist. I'm not a person running away. My marriage is good. Family is good. Everything's straight. Everything tight. Not trying to get out of anything. Don't get me wrong. Everything's good. But he supersedes all of that. Hello. He supersedes all of that. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we eagerly waiting for? What are you eagerly waiting for? Let me tell you this. If it's not Jesus, when you get it, you're going to be disappointed. Ultimately. Now, it'll satisfy for a moment, but then... Hello. We were not created for things. We were created for a person. All things were created by him and for him. Colossians 1:16, let that sink deep within your spirit. We were not created for our own selves. We were not created for our own pleasure. We were created by him and for. We exist for him. For through him, for by him, through him, and to him are all things. Romans 11:30-36. 1 Thessalonians 1:9, for they themselves declare concerning what manner of entry we had to you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. With the brightness, the Greek word is epiphania, is where we get the word epiphany from, the appearing. And the scripture says, Christ is going to destroy the lawless one with the brightness of his appearing. And to give you an idea of what he's talking about, when Saul in chapter 9, when Christ showed himself to Saul, Saul said that that a light appeared to me that was greater than the noonday sun. Greater than the noonday sun. And Christ was holding back who he was. He was holding it back so Paul could just get a glimpse. First Timothy 6:14, that you keep this commandment without spot, blameless until our Lord Jesus Christ's appearing. Again, epiphania, the word for epiphany, which means a manifestation, an appearing, a brightness. And so when Christ comes, he's going to literally appear. He's going to show himself. He's going to reveal who he is. And oh my goodness. 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. He's going to judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. And that sheds a little bit of light. When Jesus said, pray, your kingdom come, lets you know what we're praying for. Because ultimately, when that kingdom comes, he's going to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom is going to be set up. And I'm praying for that kingdom more than I ever have now. Because though while I believe, Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:1, pray for kings and those who are in authority, on and on and on. I pray for them. But, you know, we're praying so we make it through. We're not praying that they're going to, because you know it's not going to get right. That's not God's kingdom. God's kingdom is coming. Hey, Paul said, we pray that we may live a godly and quiet life in all godliness and reverence. We're praying for them. But that's just to get through, because ultimately what we're seeking is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. The Bible says the government shall be upon his shoulders, Isaiah 9. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David to establish it and order it with justice and judgment. Even from this time forth, even forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. The kingdom is going to be upon his shoulders. And there's no government coming. There's no righteousness. There's no government that's going to come that's going to extend peace and righteousness and judgment over the earth. For righteousness is the foundation of his throne. And so it is his kingdom that we are waiting on. It is his appearing. It is his revelation that we are seeking for, because only under that government. And I pray for our government every day. And I pray for Ugandan government. I pray for the Ghanaian government. I pray for all the God move throughout the world of the nations. I pray for the nations. But I know this, that what we're looking for, what we're seeking, I say, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. And I know some young people say, but Pastor, I haven't got married yet. Please don't pray that the kingdom come. Let me tell you something. If that king, if he came before you got married, you would wake up, you'd be like this. Marriage? What marriage? What? You'd be like, what man? What girl? He'd be saying, oh no, Lord Jesus. No, because see, because he's gonna fill up everything. Oh, he's gonna fill it all up. Look here. Because there's nothing that compares. There's nothing that compares. Daphne will be walking away. I'll be like, hey, baby. She'll be like, leave me alone, man. Leave me alone. She'll be like, don't you see? Don't you see? Be quiet. Be quiet. Come on, church. We're getting there. We're getting there. 2 Timothy 4:8. Finally, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only. See, Paul lets you know, not to me only, but to all who have loved his appearing. To all who have loved his appearing. Do you love his appearing? Amen. 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 See, he's appearing to us now because he's going to appear to us then. You say, But all of us are not going to be here when Jesus returns. Exactly. Which means he's going to appear before that appearing. Do you love it? When he appears, he's going to put it all right. Every wrong. He's going to make it right, church. People yelling in this nation, and rightly so. The government, there's no justice. We don't have this wrong, that wrong. You're treating these people wrong, treating that people wrong, and they're right. You are. And we want it to change. But if it doesn't, he's going to put it right. My God, he's going to put it right. And when he does... Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing or manifestation of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God. Hebrews 9:28. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. 1 Peter 1:7. Well, should I hate reading scriptures out of context. Well, not out of context. I just like to provide some context to what the apostle or the writer is saying. And let me just read a couple of verses before 1 Peter 1:7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. Ah, God. And some people say, why are you talking about heaven? Why you keep talking about you ready to go? I'll tell you why. Because Peter wrote things like that. Because he wrote things like that. Incorruptible, which means it can't be soiled with anything of this life. Amen? It won't rot. It won't decay. Undefiled, and that does not fade away. Can nobody steal it? The government can't lose it. They can't spend it on Social Security. Come on. No one can do anything with it. It's reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God literally. You and I were kept by the power of God. This is why I always say, when I went to sleep last night, I was in Christ. When I woke up this morning, I was in Christ. Why? Because I'm kept by the power of God. And the reason why you and I are serving God today is because we are kept literally by the Holy One who's living on the inside of us. Therefore, he gets all the glory. He gets all the praise. I'm not deep. I'm not no super saint or anything like that. I'm one kept. You are one kept by the power of God. Listen at what Peter says, kept by the power of God through faith for salvation. What was faith given to us for? Not for a Cadillac, not for a house, not to win the lottery, not faith through faith unto salvation. Faith was given to us that we might be saved. And guess what? Everything else comes with that. Hey, look here. That's another sermon. Ready to be revealed. Ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. And then verse 7, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Peter is simply saying this. Your faith is being tried. Job was too. Devil had to go. I'm preaching my sermon from next week already. Devil had to go to Job, go to God to get permission to test Job's faith. Devil got to go to God. He did it with Peter. Jesus said, Peter, Satan has desired. Same thing in the New Testament. The devil got to go to God to get permission to try your faith. So when your faith starts to be tried, know that God has given permission, and he's given permission because he wants you to overcome. Oh, God. Woo! Hallelujah. He wants me to overcome. He said, Peter, I pray for you, boy. I pray for you. When you get through, strengthen your brethren. He said, you coming through this, Peter. You coming through this, Moses. You coming through this. Cherie, you're coming through. You say, how do I know? How do I know I'm coming through? Because God gave the devil permission, and he didn't give him permission to overcome you. He gave him permission so that you would overcome him. Hey, why? Because he's your father. He won't allow you to be tempted beyond that you're able. But in every temptation, he makes a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Come on now. Come on. He doesn't allow you to be tempted so that you will fall. But will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. So anytime I'm tempted, it shows me God has removed the hedge, because there is a hedge. We'll learn more about that next week. When God says, removes the hedge, go ahead and have at it. It's because he's done something in us so that we would overcome. But we have to believe that. Oh, we have to believe that. That was next week's sermon, so we done. Don't come back here next. hey, look here. Amen. No, come back. I have more. There's more. Last verse, last scripture. First, did I already read it? No, I didn't read it. 1 Peter 1:13. Peter says this, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation or the appearing or the disclosure of Jesus Christ. The daily revelation of God that we experience in our life will lead ultimately to the final revelation of God when Jesus Christ appears and discloses himself. And his glory is going to usher us into his grace. But that same glory will consume his enemies with fire. Hello. Daily revelations. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you now for your word, Lord, that comes to us with power. Lord, in much assurance. We thank you, O God, that because of the love that you have given us for yourself, that love that we abide in, Lord, that you have declared that you will love us, oh God, and manifest yourself to us. I thank you for every revelation. I thank you for daily, oh God, of you giving and sharing yourself, oh God. Ah, Jesus said, I will not leave you of orphans. I will come to you. And he sent the Holy Spirit. So that the disclosure might continue, so that he would always be with us, that we're never alone. We're never without your presence. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that our eyes would be open to even more so, and we would appreciate, oh God, ultimately the revealing of yourself to us in day-to-day life. Lord, that we would see and live in a place of continual gratitude and thanksgiving. And Father, that we, through these revelations, would be prepared, Lord, for the ultimate day of your revelation as you disclose yourself to your people. Father, we pray that your word would have free course in us. Lord, that your word would continually prepare us for your great return, that in all things Christ would be glorified. And we ask it in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. The Lord bless you real good.